The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Need to Know. It's Kip Kiefer here. And here today is different than here most weeks because we have reported to the Western studios of TKR. It's a wide world, worldwide, I should say, array of broadcasting stations. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada today to bring you the edition of the show that is going to include a lot of different odds and ends, I guess, but always have a great time when come out here. I've got not only the incentive of the most exciting city in the world, but also get some grandpa time. Yes, I know I'm far too dashing and urbane and whatever other descriptions you want to say, young, to be a grandpa, but that is exactly what I am. And my three-year-old grandson, King, they don't have high expectations for him, obviously, is a great joy for me. We had a great day yesterday. It was just 108 here, so just a mild summer day in Las Vegas, but a lot of swimming, a lot of great food, a lot of back and forth. He might be three, but he is already a Kiefer in every way, being very, very animated and outspoken, and you always know what his opinion on everything is. Just a great joy to have that to fall back on when things get a little bit on the depressing side, or you kind of feel you wonder about your the validity of your existence. I just have moments, and if you have not experienced this stage of life yet, and it's in your future, here's what you have to look forward to. It's such a great thing to just. Was in the pool yesterday. There were games going on. They play these ridiculous games they make up. Like they throw various projectiles at each other. King runs around the side of the pool. Case, my son, is in the pool. They play a game where they kind of throw things at each other, little like Nerf footballs and thing. Not anything that could hurt them. But anyway, it's really funny. They call it sharks and fish, and King's the fish and Case is the shark. If King gets in the water, he's in desperate trouble because the shark will try to get him. But just watching that going on just again, my grandson's 3 years old, but he's already heavily into silly Kiefer mode, and it's just great to reflect for a minute that, you know, you're responsible for two subsequent generations. You watch your own son, and I'm so blessed to have two sons. My second son, Clate, set up this whole broadcast today. He's such an engineering whiz and can do just about anything with any electronic. He's just a Renaissance man. He's a woodworker. He's a deep thinker. He's a big gamer. But you look at what you created, and you realize that now another generation has been created from that basic start to what you have accomplished. And it really gives you a sense of purpose in your life, and the fact that so much of the time I'm hard on myself, thinking that I've underachieved and should have done more and still should do more and want to do more. But sometimes it gives you great perspective to know that some of the things that you don't actually think of as great achievements actually are the greatest achievements you've had in your life. So a lot of good perspective, a lot of great family time, which is always so uplifting for me. And so really delighted to be here in Las Vegas, have some official things to do as well. This week with work, we're bringing in a new supplier to the Birmingham Racecourse Casino, going to check out on a site tour their product and look at that and have some official business. But I'm also here for another reason, kind of on the side. It wasn't really planned, but Before I get into the real meat of the show today, I wanted to kind of pay tribute and tell you that this is a kind of a somber week in Las Vegas, in my opinion, because this is the final week of the Mirage on the Strip. The Mirage, of course, was built by Steve Wynn, opened in 1990, and it's really one of the, in my opinion, on Las Vegas history, the Mirage, right smack dab in the middle of the Strip, really one of the iconic properties and really a game changer for how this city's structure is. The Mirage was Steve Wynn's vision. He was able to finance this multi-million dollar tremendous addition to the Las Vegas Strip right next to Caesar's Palace. And the Mirage really kind of transformed this city from the traditional gaming sites, you know, the originals, the Caesar's Palace, the Flamingo Hilton, a lot of the Desert Inn, the Dunes, the Sands, all the ones you've always heard about, the Tropicana, all those original hotels, all basically the same kind of theme. Entertainment, but entertainment in the lounge variety of a show, a singer, a comedian, adult entertainment. You also had, of course, the showgirls, the kind of flamboyant full-scale shows, a lot of them topless. You had, of course, the casino operations, which were predominantly slots and table games and all those things, race and sports books that were what originally a big part of Las Vegas and continue to be now. But those themed hotels really did not have the overall entertainment vision that Steve Wynn brought to the Mirage when it opened 34 years ago, because the Mirage opened, of course, with the volcano out front that erupted every 45 minutes, and it was spectacular, fire shooting up in the sky, pseudo lava, not the real thing, but a spectacular show right on the street. If you were just walking by, you could stop and watch it. It became the first of the hotels to feature that. And of course, that became a Steve Wynn staple when he later opened the Treasure Island with the every hour on the hour pirate battle at night, where the British frigate would come around the corner only to be accosted by a pirate ship, and they had a cannonball fight, and guys were falling in the water in front of the hotel and swinging on ropes to get to the other armaments. And it was just a spectacular show, completely for free, just for promotional opportunities for those properties. And, you know, Steve Wynn also then went to the next level at Bellagio, which is on the other side of Caesar's Palace. That was the old Dunes Hotel. They demolished that. That was a staple in Vegas for many, many years, and built the Bellagio, which is still one of the most spectacular properties here. And, of course, they have the iconic fountains that come on every hour at night with all of the light show, the state-of-the-art sound system outside. The fountains actually dance to whatever kind of music. It's all programmed where they move back and forth and sway and spray and shoot way up into the air at the real crescendo of certain songs. That was all Steve Wynn's showmanship. And of course, the Mirage took it to other levels. When you check in, there is a massive, giant whole wall aquarium with all kinds of different aquatic life in there. You can stand there mesmerized for hours and look at all that. Of course, they also brought the White Tigers with Siegfried and Roy. They had a dolphin show where the dolphins would perform out back in the secret garden. The whole thing, the point was, the transformation of Las Vegas was made by Steve Wynn and the Mirage, which made it a property that people all around the world wanted to come and see, even if you weren't a big drinker or a big gambler or seeking any kind of adult entertainment. It really changed this city, and it really made the future properties that have been developed all feature these kind of attractions, which is really, really something that's remarkable. And to consider that the property is only 34 years old and this is its final week is kind of staggering to me, because the first time I ever was able to visit Las Vegas was in 1990. We stayed across the street from there, but of course spent a lot of the time in the Mirage. I remember we were here on New Year's Day. I was with my brother-in-law, Rusty Blair, who's a real character in his own right. And we were sitting there about 9:45 in the morning watching bowl games. Because remember, we're 3 hours ahead of East Coast time here in Las Vegas. So a 12:30 kickoff is a 9:30 kickoff here. I still don't, when I'm out here for NFL Sundays, it's still bizarre to me that the first game starts at 10 a.m. And on a college football Saturday, where we're going to have the Georgia Clemson game on ABC 33-40 to kick off the new season, that game starts at 11 o'clock Central, which is 9 a.m. out here. That really doesn't work very well with my schedule typically. Tony would love it. It's like midday for him. Tony Curry, the proprietor of this network, he's up at 4:30 or 5 every day. So that's like lunchtime for him, a 9 o'clock kickoff, but it's still kind of a big adjustment. But the great thing is, like, Monday Night Football starts at around 5 or 5:30. So you can watch the whole Monday night game and still go to dinner somewhere. Back in Birmingham, where we're usually based, the game's not over till close to 11 o'clock, and you've got not too many choices. You can go to Waffle House, maybe Crystal, and pick you up something to eat after the game. But it's a whole different kind of world out here, and the Mirage going away to me is a moment that I'm somber about, because I have so much history. It's been one of my favorite properties for many, many years. That day when I was with my brother-in-law, a scantily clad waitress brought us a couple of free beers that we called for before 10 o'clock in the morning while we were watching one of the bowl games. And my brother-in-law looked at me and said, "Is this a great country or what?" Just such great memories of the Mirage. It's going away because it has been acquired now. The MGM had done a hostile takeover that resulted in them getting the majority of the stock on Bellagio, Mirage, and Treasure Island, the three Steve Wynn properties, way back when, 15 years ago or so. And those switched over to MGM, which has a giant portfolio out here, but has expended tons of money building the City Center complex in Las Vegas, which is a completely independent set of hotels and retail establishments and restaurants. They've had to unload, I guess, for lack of a better term. They have not parted with the Bellagio, and I don't expect to see that. But the Treasure Island, first purchased by my former boss, Phil Ruffin. I've spent a lot of time at TI, even doing some work for him there and developing their race and sports book in my career. But Mr. Ruffin, at 88 years young, still operates the Treasure Island. But now Mirage has been sold off to Hard Rock, who's really made a big comeback, a worldwide company, of course, that has iconic properties all over the world, including their signature guitar hotels, where the front of the hotel is shaped like a giant guitar. And of course, Hard Rock is always themed. Tony Curry will love the new Hard Rock on the Strip, because it's all themed to the history of music in this country, particularly the rock and roll era. You go to Hard Rock property and it's just a huge part of what that identity is. They are going to, and I don't know the plan. I can't imagine. I was talking to my son about it this morning. The Mirage will close for good on July 2nd. I don't know if they are going to do the typical Vegas removal, but they are going to destroy that property. And again, it's only 34 years old, which is young in terms of hotel life typically. But Hard Rock has plans to build one of their signature guitar hotels. And so it's going to be taken apart piece by piece or all at one time. But I can't imagine right in the middle of the strips, right between Caesars and Treasure Island, so close to Bellagio and all the new properties across the street. They've got the largest Ferris wheel on earth. They've got a brand new section called The Link, which has a lot of hotels and restaurants directly across the street. So I don't know what the plan's going to be to remove the current building, but that is the plan. And they'll be building this new hotel, and it will be 3 years before that property is completed and open, the newest addition to the Las Vegas Strip. And it will be a giant guitar-shaped building, which is something to really kind of look forward to, and it's going to be interesting. To kind of pay tribute to the Mirage, I'm taking the whole family. I've seen it twice before, but it's spectacular. One of the big attractions at Mirage has been Love. That's the Cirque du Soleil show with acrobats and high-rise people doing all kinds of amazing things above your head and on the stage. The stage lowers and raises and brings performers on that do all kinds of amazing different, I want to call them stunts. That sounds cheap. These are like professionals that can do all kinds of amazing things. And while that's not something that I would normally be attracted to just on its own right, it's accompanied by a state-of-the-art soundtrack with all of the iconic Beatles songs and even the surviving Beatles a couple of years ago on, I think, the 25th anniversary of Love at Mirage, which plays five nights a week, 365 days a year traditionally. They, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and George Harrison, shortly before his death, came and took in a Beatles Love show. And of course, there's only two surviving Beatles now, but all of them came out saying, "This is phenomenal. It's fantastic. It's such a great tribute to our music in such a fantastic backdrop." We are going to attend Wednesday night, one of the last Love shows, and I don't know if it's going to land somewhere else on the strip or this is going to be it, but it's been running for so long that I don't know how topical it is now or how relevant it is to our generations. The Beatles were slightly before our time, but a lot of young people maybe not really into Beatles music. So I don't know if it's going to reappear anywhere. There's no word whether or not that's going to happen. But the bottom line is we're going to catch one of the final shows because July 2nd, of course, that's just next week. It's going to be all over with because the Mirage is going to officially close. And I will be really relishing the opportunity to be on the property again and see all the great sights one more time and have so many memories. I could do three shows of different experiences I've had at Mirage. So that's another reason that we're out here, and it's going to be great taking the whole family, including the grandson. Hopefully he can sit through a 90-minute show, because I think he'll be kind of mesmerized by all the performers and everything going on around him. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes, but a really kind of bittersweet moment. I think the addition to the strip of the Hard Rock and the guitar themed hotel is going to be awesome, but I also have great sadness that the Mirage will no longer be part of the Las Vegas theme. I wanted to talk about, before I got into my leisure plans here, which again includes some business, so don't think I'm just out here completely goofing off. At least you don't need to think that. That is predominantly the mission. But I also want to talk about the big news this week, which of course is Thursday night, the big debate, which is hard to imagine, between the president of the United States, Joe Biden, and the presumptive Republican nominee, Donald Trump. We've never had a debate this early before in American history, because typically you wait until July and August, respectively, when the conventions are held for the Republicans and Democrats, and the candidates only emerge at that point And in back in American history, that was really the case because you didn't have all this canned, locked in delegate nonsense and millions of dollars flying around that already determines so much of the outcomes of these things before they're even established. You had people actually still competing, going to the convention and uncertainty about who was going to be the nominee because delegates were not bound typically until the previous century to have to support the candidate that their state mandated. There was a lot of independent thinking and a lot of backroom deals. That's where you get the smoke-filled room where the party bosses would get together and figure out what the best strategy is. And ironically, we might be in that territory this time. A lot of people believe that's why this debate was set so early, that in case Joe Biden cannot perform properly, because there's no question there's serious cognitive decline. He is not fully functional. He goes off on these weird tangents and comes up with all this crazy information, like his uncle was devoured by cannibals, like he almost went to the Naval Academy to play quarterback for the Navy in the early 60s, but Roger Staubach was already in front of him, which was not true because Biden came out of high school 2 years before Roger Staubach ever started at the Naval Academy. Joe, I don't think really lies. I think Joe is just so delusional and so demented now that things pop in his head and he just can't help himself. You get three or four of those whoppers just about every week. But you also get politically incorrect whoppers that you know, he's not called on because he is protected by the mainstream media. They want him to win again. They want him to be the puppet, the figurehead, the guy in front of the party while the real string pullers behind the scenes run the show. Anybody who thinks what's happening in our country is Joe Biden policy, you couldn't be further off. This guy doesn't know what day it is. His big priority is getting back to his Delaware beach house where he can take a weekend-long nap. This president works less and is present less than any president in American history. So if he can get through a 90-minute debate with no teleprompter, no notes, it's going to be miraculous in my opinion. I think what you're going to see, and that's what I'm really here to tell you, I'm not here to tell you which candidate to pay attention to. I'm just telling you the realities. This is kind of your pregame debate show. And I think you can go back and listen to the string of need to knows over the last year here on TKR. And this is not braggadocious because it's a fact. If you go back and listen to a lot of the things that I've talked about, I give you my honest opinion. It's not tainted by political agenda. It is it is a common sense and very analytical view of the things that I see with my own eyes and hear with my own ears, even though they tell you don't trust those things. In 1984, the book by George Orwell, there's a very famous passage that has always stood out to me, and that passage says just that, what we're experiencing now in this era, when you see Joe Biden make mistakes and tell blatant lies, like he inherited gas prices at $5 a gallon. That's absolutely nonsense. In 2020, when Joe Biden was elected and when he was inaugurated in 2021, gas was about $2.45 a gallon. He did not inherit $5 gas prices. We got $5 gas prices when he completely cut off Americans' production of gas and oil and shut down the Keystone Pipeline, which was going to be able to spawn the development of new refineries and really put energy costs completely in check and really help our economy, because we would have had such a surplus of fossil fuel to ship all over the world. It would have become a major, major economic engine for our country. That's what was happening at the end of the Trump administration. Of course, it is not a lie that the first 2 days in office, Joe Biden signed almost 80 executive orders, basically undoing everything Donald Trump had in place that was working phenomenally well for this country. So, Joe says that. Joe says that inflation was at 9.4% when he took office. Absolutely false. And again, this is not speculation. This is documented fact. Inflation was at 1.8%. And in the first year of his presidency, ballooned to 7 or 8 and even up to 9% by year number two. It now has settled back down, supposedly. But has it settled back down, really? When you go to the grocery store and you buy items, have your prices come down? Absolutely not, because the dirty little secret is when companies and corporations raise prices, even if things improve in terms of the economic measurements of inflation in society, the prices don't come down. They keep them, once they get to a certain level, they get locked in at that level, and they have no stomach whatsoever to have the effects of a better economy come down to you. You still have to pay more for everything. And I'm not talking just about food and those kind of items. The price to come to you right now from this hotel, the Green Valley Ranch in Henderson, Nevada. By the way, Green Valley Ranch is not a brothel. Every time I tell somebody I stay at Green Valley Ranch, they say, oh, and they have that look on their face. No, in Clark County, where Las Vegas and the suburb of Henderson is, there is no legalized prostitution. So the Green Valley Ranch is not a brothel. It is a fabulous resort and one of my favorite places to stay here because it's actually close to the compound where my son and daughter-in-law and grandson live. Getting off the subject here, but the prices for hotels and services and rental cars and flights, if you travel, you will see prices are through the roof. It's ridiculous. Joe Biden will say and do just about anything. But of course, with the reverse reality of these people trying to keep control of your individual liberties and really dictate everything in kind of a Marxist style government, you've got the reverse reality going on where anything they do, they try to project on the other side. So you hear that Donald Trump is nothing but a liar. Donald Trump's previous administration was a disaster, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What you see with your own eyes and what you hear with your own ears, they tell you just like in 1984 with George Orwell, being way ahead of his time, Orwell wrote that the party, which is referred to the controlling group, it's not the parties, it's the party singular, which is kind of the vision that these people have for our country, that what you see and what you hear should be ignored because the party is going to tell you the truth. Your own perceptions are not accurate. And that's exactly what we're living here as we really kind of struggle through the late years of hopefully for me, the one and done Biden presidency. There's a lot of other nefarious things going on that I can describe that the Democrat Party has. And again, I've told you 100 times on this show, this isn't Republican versus Democrat. This isn't politics as usual. This is a whole different era because you've got so many world players involved in this push, and they have basically bought the Democrat Party, particularly the radical left wing, who's a willing participant, but even mainstream kind of middle of the road conservative Democrats, if there's such a thing anymore, they have been pretty much bought off by the almighty dollar and the threat that they're going to be replaced if they don't get in line and vote right down the line what the party wants them to support. So this debate tonight, or this coming Thursday, depending on when you're listening, it's this week on Thursday night. It's going to be fascinating because Donald Trump agreed to all of the terms that CNN, which everybody listening knows is a highly liberal network and is Trump hating to the point of venomous hatred for Donald Trump because he threatens to go in and undo everything that this leftist movement and this worldwide characters from the Chinese Communist Party to radical Islamic folks to George Soros and his old world vision of a one world new order government You've got all these strange bedfellows pulling all these strings and putting millions of dollars into creating unrest and chaos, having the borders wide open to bring in because they can't defeat this country from outside. So they have to implode it from within. And this importation of 11 million illegal aliens to really depress the progress of this country economically, because it takes so many millions and billions of dollars to facilitate all of this extra people in this country. It's all this very well choreographed, very meticulous plan, and it's got to be stopped if our country is going to be able to preserve itself. So look for on CNN, the commentators, the debate leaders are going to be Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, two longtime CNN personalities, not journalists. And also, if you look on the internet, you can find literally 100 different times where they absolutely bash Trump, question Trump, call him a liar, call him a criminal, everything you can imagine. Jake Tapper in a live Trump speech during the primaries, which is big news. When you win a primary, you make a speech. CNN was cutting him off because they couldn't guarantee that they could fact check in time, and he would be rattling off so many lies that they didn't want anybody to hear those. You're an American. No matter who's speaking, you have the right, especially when it's newsworthy, to hear people speak. But they're so petrified that this guy is going to get back in the White House and completely screw up all of their plans that they even censor him to the point where you can't hear a live speech at a legitimate. Now, a rally is one thing. A speech after winning a primary or making some kind of noteworthy announcement is something completely different. So watch the debate with great interest. See what happens. Trump's agreed to all the terms because he just wants to get Joe Biden on the stage. He's supremely confident that he can kind of expose what Joe actually is now, and it will take the Emperor's New Clothes kind of theme, where Joe has been being praised by his handlers as doing this great job in the presidency, and I think he really believes that. But Donald Trump may reveal, just like the little kid in the story, that the king doesn't have any clothes on. He's not wearing a fabulous outfit. The emperor has no clothes. And I think that's what we're going to find out as far as substance in the debate. That's what Trump is banking on by agreeing to such a ridiculous situation on CNN with two other hosts. It's going to be 3-on-1 because they're going to be attacking him right and left. CNN is going to fact check Trump's statements. I didn't hear them say Biden's statements. So if Biden declares inflation was 9%, which is absolutely a proven lie, or a prevarication, whether intentional or otherwise, I don't think they're going to call him on that. But if Donald Trump says the economy was better under his presidency than any of his predecessors, they might cut him off right mid-sentence and say, well, we've checked the facts. We don't agree with that. So you don't know what you're going to get here. But the real question is Joe Biden going to be able to stand there without any notes and without any teleprompter for 90 minutes and actually talk legibly and be able to debate Donald Trump? Here's my prediction, and go ahead and put this in the bank. Two things. One, I guarantee you one of the first questions are going to be on the issues. I'll say the first two questions. It's a big favorite that one of those questions to the candidates from Bash or Tapper is going to be about abortion or about January 6th and the, quote, insurrection, unquote, or some other topic that they think. The other one that they pound is that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, that he's going to be a dictator. So those are the key words. If you hear those questions in the first two questions, abortion, threat to democracy, or January 6th, you know this is a clown show, because the big items that every American is worried about is the economy. It's the open borders. It's the situation that our country is not energy independent any longer. And it's the world stage with so many foreign hotspots that Joe Biden's weak leadership has prompted. If those should be the questions, because that's what's on the voters' minds. But if they bring up those issues that register well with the left wing portions of the Democratic Party, you know the fix is in. So the other one is, for somehow, some way, the other moment that Joe Biden was supposed to be really under the microscope was this year's address to Congress, the State of the Union address. Joe Biden did not come out for that speech in the kind of mumbling, stumbling method that we've seen him day to day for years now. He came out there just completely fired up, almost to the point of being antagonistic and screaming and angry and hostile, and was giving these kind of quick one-liner shots at just about everything. It was like a different person. Now, of course, he had a teleprompter in front of him, which he will not have this time. But I think you're going to see juiced up Joe again, because they cannot put him on a stage with 15 to 20 million people watching and have him stumbling around his words and making up phrases that don't make any sense, that are no legible language. Anyway, you're going to see fired up, juiced up Joe. But the question is, I think in watching that State of the Union, here's my prediction, juiced up Joe is hostile Joe, because like a lot of the dates I've had, once they get liquored up in those situations, just like Joe's going to get shot full of whatever that they pumped him up for the State of the Union, because he was a completely different person for that. But that also makes him hostile and angry. And I guarantee you the Trump folks already are aware that if Donald Trump provokes him a little bit and gets him in a confrontational pose in a debate, if a guy just goes off and completely gets into argument mode and attack mode and hostile mode, it doesn't look very presidential. That's how they try to paint Trump. But I think the strategy of juicing up Joe will backfire at the debate, because I think Trump will push his buttons, and I think Biden will go off in a tirade, an angry manifesto of some kind, and I think the American people will truly see who we have as president between sleepy Joe and juiced up Joe. This is not the guy you want to have the hand on the nuclear button, and not the guy that is occupying the fake space of president of the United States, because Joe is not making the decisions, folks. Joe is a front man. Joe is a puppet. They think they can get elected. And if you are an anti-Trump person, that's fine. I respect that. But you really are going to support a guy who truly has visible signs of rapidly diminishing dementia. I can't imagine that this is the leader of the free world. And you look at everything that's happening around the world, these bad actors on our globe are taking advantage of us having a very weak leader. So that's what you need to know this week. The debate preview, gave you the Las Vegas report. You never know what you're going to get here on the Need to Know each week, but see if my predictions are true on the debate. Both the hostility of the host and juiced up Joe getting a ball bent out of shape, because I think those two things will happen, and probably in the first half hour or hour of the 90-minute debate. Kip Kiefer on TKR. Have a fantastic week, everybody. We never close here on TKR, so we'll be back next week right before the 4th of July to give you another report back on the shores of Birmingham after a week out in Las Vegas. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week on the holiday.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.